With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk more about leadership mistakes. And this is because of the feedback that we got, a lot of it really, really good, from our last episode around the big mistakes that leaders make, the ones that could be actually career stalling or even career ending. A lot of people chimed in and said, yeah, they've seen those mistakes before. They know people who have made them. They've done their best not to make them. But then there was a follow-up of, but what about the mistakes that aren't career ending? I feel like I'm making mistakes constantly and I don't want to make them. I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. Even if it's not something that will get me fired, it's important to me to be a good leader, or maybe I'm a brand new leader and I don't want to make a lot of the common mistakes. And so, you know, we started brainstorming about this, talking about these different mistakes, and there's a lot here. And the notes that I'm looking at, I think, are longer than what can fit into a single episode while kind of being respectful of people's time. And so I think over the next several episodes, probably three or four, I want to talk about the common mistakes that people make as a leader that aren't necessarily, again, career ending, but ones that could cause you problems over a long period of time, and that you want to do your best to make sure that you're not actually doing in the moment.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it's funny because I think it's one of the things that I appreciate most about our listeners and those that have been along with us for a long time, and even those that have just started. You know, we continue to get messages and DMs, and I get a lot of messages through LinkedIn and the podcast, or me personally, you know, we get tagged in messages and posts from our listeners saying, like, they've been listening to this episodes for years, or they just recently got promoted and they're thanking a bunch of people, and then they tend to thank us or the podcast, which again still seems so surreal, right?
Yeah.
to just that level of effect that we could have on people. But I think what I love about that is that, like, when we get onto a topic that really resonates with our listeners, they're like, we want more. Like, what else is there? Or what other things can you share, or perspectives that you can share? Because the reality is, like, even as much tenure and experience that you and I have, we're continuing to learn every day. We're making mistakes. You know, like, these things happen. These are lessons that either you come across, you know, early on in your career, hopefully, and you kind of work through them, or they poke up from time to time and you got to figure them out in the moment. But, like, this is the journey. This is the journey of leadership, is as your people evolve and as your people get better and as your people continue to learn and grow, so do you as a leader. And so I'm excited for these because I think that there's just so much to unpack here. And I think that we're going to have a good time just talking about some of the things that maybe people talk about and they're like, yeah, that's definitely leadership. But why does it matter so much? And why does it matter when you are really establishing yourself, potentially, like, in a new leadership role, taking over a new team, or just making sure that you're kind of checking yourself in regards to the team that you're leading currently?
Right. And I can tell you, you know, the list of things that I came up with, the vast majority of them, they're not hypothetical or based on what people have told me. They're mistakes that I've made. You know, sometimes I'm not saying things that I've done for years at a time, but things that I've done in general and have over time realized what not to do and what to do and how to get better at it. But it's like you said, trying to learn them early enough on in your career to where you can come back from them and you get the grace of your people when you are a new leader. I know a lot of people who they're in leadership roles and the mistakes they're making are much more impactful to their long-term career growth and success because they never took the time to make them when they were early on. When you are taking the time to create relationships, there's going to be mistakes. And if you have found yourself It's like if you're in a relationship with somebody and after, you know, a year of dating, you're like, oh, we never fight. It's like, really never? Like you never have a disagreement about anything? If that's the case, then the first thing I think is that one or both of you is not actually speaking your mind of what you actually believe, that you're just acquiescing or you're doing your best to avoid the conflict rather than actually create and build a relationship. There's going to be conflict in a relationship. The key is how do you do it and how do you come out the other side and how do you learn from it and how do you get better from it? And again, my list is just full of things that I have learned by doing.
Yeah, no, I think it's such a great point. And it's one of the things when we talk about wanting to have a culture of, you know, of growth, innovation, inclusion, diversity, all these things, like a lot of these things require elements of conflict, and not conflict in a bad way of like, you know, fighting and being so mad at one another, but conflict in challenging ideas, challenging perspectives, challenging one another to think about something from you know, one point of view or a different point of view as you work through that. So you should be very welcoming to that. You should be asking for that. You know, it's one of the things that I tend to talk to people that come, you know, to an organization, to my team, and they're brand new. And I say, like, look, this is your sweet spot. Like the next 30 days to 45 days is the most critical time for you to help us get better, because you're going to see things from a different lens, from a new perspective, from a fresh way of seeing things, and you can ask us questions about it. And I'm telling you, ask us. Please ask us. Challenge us. Why do we do this? What do you see here? You know, why is it done this way? And I was like, and if we can't give you an answer within a minute, and if we're stumbling over our words, then there's clearly some work that we can do here. But we need your help. It's why we brought you to the team, to come with your experience and your background. But we want some of that conflict, that healthy debate and conflict, because that's going to make us better. It's going to tighten and really solidify the relationship. And it's going to allow us to function in a space where it's okay for us to have differing ideas. And it's okay for you to challenge something and say, I don't think this is a good idea, or this is not working, and let me tell you why, so that we can have a good amount of conversation and debate to then find the best solution possible.
So without further ado, the first one that I want to talk about is the mistake that leaders make when they don't actually take the time to create relationships with their people individually. When the relationship they have is with their team and not an individual relationship with each person on their team. And it might seem semantic or like nuance, but it is wholly different to have a relationship with your team versus having individual relationships with each person. And I've made this mistake as a new leader, and it's one of the ones I think that slows down the growth and the performance of your team, is if they don't feel like they have an individual relationship with their leader.
Yeah, and I can tell you, especially as a leader of leaders, if you have very large team sizes, it's not feasible that you would have a great, true personal relationship with every single person, especially if you lead other leaders. The kicker is that you should have that relationship with those leaders that you lead directly.
Direct reports. Yes.
Yeah. If it's 5 or 7 or 3 or 10, you know, like those relationships matter so much, because not only is it healthy and the ability for you to really understand people, have a personal connection, know what motivates, what demotivates people, understand what their why is, and understand, you know, their personality types and how they can be, you know, how you can seek out their counsel or their capability, their skill set in certain situations. All of that matters so much to you and to that person, but it also is setting and role modeling what you want of them for then the next layer of people that report to them directly. Like, you know, them feeling that way with you as their leader, you know, the idea is that they would then go ahead and cascade that down to their own teams to build those types of relationships, to understand similar types of things. And I think that, you know, there is a big part of leadership that is that influential and that the kind of mentoring element of, you know, people will just naturally want to kind of do what you do, and they'll want to approach the work they do the same way that you're approaching the work that you do, because in their own mind, it's like, I look at it that way. Like if I see a way that my direct boss is doing something then I'm going to be like, you know, I'm going to take from that, and I'm probably going to apply that same type of approach to my own team. Because if that's what we're looking for me, then that's what I should be looking for my team, because I trust my leader, and I know that this person is looking out for me, and they're looking to develop me, and they have more experience potentially, they have a different perspective on things. And so there's those two big pieces of that relationship building. It's critical for you and your direct reports, and as a leader of leaders, it's so much more important for how you role model, how you want your leaders to treat their people.
Where I see pitfalls in this is there can be a tendency of organizations to have a leader with too many direct reports. Meaning, if your job as a leader of leaders is to manage a scorecard. You know, if you just want to make sure that people are hitting a number, and your job is to basically push information out and say, look at, I have 30 direct reports. Here's the five that are doing the best, the five that are doing the worst, and the 20 that are in the middle. Then that's what your job is, and that's fine. But if you want to have a relationship with your individual people so that you have the credibility to help them get better, so they trust you when you give your opinion on what they can do to move up in their career, the only way to do that is to have a relationship with them. And if you are listening right now and you're thinking to yourself, well, I have 20 direct reports, that's pushing the high end of really what's possible. Because to have a relationship with a close enough relationship where you have the trust of them to where they're spending enough time with you to see you in action, to where you're spending enough time with them to see them in action and how they lead their people, to have 20 people or even, you know, 18 or 15 people, it's a long enough timeline to get through all those people and spend enough time with them. I think it's very difficult. I think I would be stretched very, very thin as a leader if I truly know that my job as a leader is to develop the next generation of leaders and develop their talent as leaders, and I had 15 or 18 or 20 people, I'd be very stressed out thinking that I had to do that for all those people. If you have control over how many people are in a direct reporting role and you're seeing those kind of numbers, and typically when it happens, it's well, we can reduce a little bit of payroll if we have more people report up. It is definitely, there is a law of diminishing returns there. Like, what you save in not having the people in those leadership roles, you will lose in your lack of ability to develop talent as you go forward. So there's kind of a sweet spot where there's enough people to where you as a leader aren't tempted to try to do the job of your individual people, but not so much that you can't really spend the time needed. And that can hinder someone actually creating those relationships.
Yeah, no, it's such an important part. I know I'm a huge advocate for that ability to be accessible to people when they need you. As a leader, that's a big part of it. Is and I know we talked about this maybe a few episodes ago. I don't exactly remember, but just around the idea of being available in the moment and being able to say yes. You know, I've shared this, I think, multiple times on the show over the years of, like, when somebody asks for time, the answer is like, yes, absolutely. Like, is this something you need right now? Or is it something you want to sit down and talk about and discuss? Like you tell me, you define for me the level of urgency of when you need me or how you need me to show up. But I'm going to ask, and we're going to establish that. And a lot, most of the time, people are like, oh, no, like maybe we can get some time this week or next week. Can I get, you know, cool. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like what do you need? You need 15 minutes, 30 minutes? You need an hour? Like, what are you asking? Yeah, like maybe 30 minutes. You got it. I'll make that happen. Right. Like being able to be available and be accessible doesn't necessarily mean drop what I'm doing. There goes my day and my afternoon. I can no longer accomplish anything. It just means that when you ask me for the time, you do get an immediate response around the request. And I'm totally fine with you to say, actually, I need you right now. You got it. Let's go. If it's urgent to you, it's urgent to me. Let's talk about it. Let me be in the moment for you. If we discover that this really wasn't an urgent thing, I can now say in the future, right? Something like this is something that we can discuss later on. But I want you to understand that when you come to me and say you need me right now, I'm here. So it does take a little bit of time of defining that for people. And sometimes it's the large team, sometimes it's individuals. But that's such a critical part of leadership when you're looking to build a culture where people have that belief. They feel like you're committed to them. They have an openness to want to come to you. And they know that you're going to respond in kind based upon what the request is.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think if most people that I know wouldn't fault their leader if they went to their leader and said, hey, I need to talk to you about something. It's going to take an hour. And the leader said, I can't do that right this moment. They wouldn't be like, oh, that they're not accessible. You know, it's like, no. But if the thing they wanted to bring up, they said it'll take about 2 minutes. You kind of want to be accessible right then at that moment. Like if your people need 2 minutes from you, unless they can clearly see you're actually in the middle of something, in which case they probably wouldn't interrupt to begin with, unless it was really, really urgent, then you kind of want to hear what it is. I think it's real easy to give them 2 or 3 minutes in the moment, or like you said, say, hey, if this is something that can be done in a couple of minutes, yeah, let's just talk. But if you want to talk about this more in depth, or you want to sit down, you want to make sure that we can kind of have a dialogue about this and go back and forth, and it might take a little bit longer, that's fine too. But I want to schedule it so that we can make sure that neither of us are kind of shirking our responsibilities to everybody else, and we put it on the calendar and kind of go through it in that way. As long as you follow through with that, even if it's scheduled a week out, as long as you follow through with that time and you don't, and something doesn't come up that means you have to reschedule it, I think that you get a lot of grace with that. That's very, very accessible. Is just the follow through on when you said you were going to have that meeting.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be very intentional about your schedule week to week on what you're doing when it comes to bonding with your people, building relationships with them, and being accessible and available to them. And so when you get your schedule in the week, there are going to be things that you have to do as part of your job. How much of that time is spent on creating relationships with your people, either you being intentional with them or having time kind of blocked aside so that if somebody does come to you and says, hey, I need to speak with you, that you can say, hey, you know what? I have time this Wednesday or this Friday or whenever it is to put on the schedule to where you're not saying to them, yeah, my first time available is next March. You know, you really have to make sure that both are built into your schedule on a weekly basis. If you are a leader of people, your job is developing people. And so if the time on your calendar, if you look at next week, and all of the time on the calendar is filled with what you consider to be doing your job, and none of it is spending time individually with your people, then you're not doing your job, because your job is developing people. And if you look over your calendar and you see a lot of time spent building relationships with your people, one-on-one time, either actual formal one-on-ones and career conversations, or just check-in time to where you're walking and talking and shooting the breeze for 30 or 40 minutes, just to make sure that you kind of keep your thumb on the pulse of what's going on, that they have the opportunity to bring up issues that they may not bring up in the moment, but in a more informal environment, maybe they're more likely to. Those are the things that make sure you have those relationships with your people. They're the things that mean that you can tackle problems when they are starting, as opposed to when they've gotten huge. So be intentional about it and look at it several weeks out so that it doesn't, you know, kind of get away from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great 1 minute hack. And you know, just a reminder around how we spend our time as leaders. It's both formal and informal. You have to have both. And yes, there are going to be a ton of things that you have to do for your job around responsibilities, whether it's, you know, calls or meetings or whatever the case is. But you've got to make sure that you have some intention and you're proactive with how you spend your time to make sure that you are getting the time that you need to build those relationships, to be accessible to your people, and to really have that type of a culture that is going to pay dividends over time, as people feel much more comfortable with you know, providing their thoughts, their insights on how to make the business better.
Right. I'm brought back to a Stephen Covey-ism that we've heard from many of our guests that, who are kind of disciples of him, which is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's one of the seven habits, right? And that if the main thing is people development, how much of your calendar, how much of your time is spent on that? Look back at your past calendar last week, the week before, how much of it was spent on that? If it's not the main thing that you're spending time on, then it's not the main thing that's part of your job. And if you believe that it is supposed to be the main thing that's part of your job, it needs to take up a larger part of your calendar than the managing parts of your job that you could probably delegate to other people.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.